two different segments of Paul's letters to Timothy, from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And one of the things these verses have in common is dealing with the issue of being a young man. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Let's flip over to 2 Timothy 2, beginning at verse 20. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Young men today are often struggling. We can look at all kinds of data. I'm not going to bore you with it. We certainly know that from experience, many of us. They're struggling to grow up and to act like men. And I'm not here to throw shame on them. I'm here today to encourage them, give them hope, and provide you with tools and resources to come alongside them in that as well. We may ask, you know, what are the reasons for this? Why? And there's a lot of things that we could point to, but one factor is fathers, the absence of fathers, the lack of father roles in young men's lives. That's one factor, but today we're going to zoom in on some verses that are addressing the issue of young men so that we can offer them hope and encouragement in growing up, whatever stage they may be in, pre-young man, in the emerging stage of becoming a young man, or as they launch into adulthood as a young man. These gospel-shaped truths are going to help them and encourage them in that process and pursuit. And we're also going to see here some things for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ in a church community, how we can help to launch responsible, gospel-shaped young men. And last week, we kind of zoomed in on young women. If you were here with us or you want to listen to the live stream recording, certainly you can see some of those things we said there. But men are oftentimes today not hitting those markers, perhaps, or they're delayed in those markers that we would identify as sort of, hey, that's what an adult man looks like work and family responsibilities and financial independence and other sorts of things. Paul's writing to Timothy as a young man. Let's just look at 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise you for your youth. He's now a leader, but Timothy was still a young man, and Paul was addressing him as a young man in relation to his thought process because he was a young man. And so we're gonna really kind of pull out from that, even though, you know, Timothy was probably older than say the teenager who's becoming a young man, the dynamics of young man issues were in play even here for Timothy, and we're going to see what God's word says to him and to us as it relates to a young man. Let's look at then 2 Timothy 2:22. So flee youthful passions. That word youthful is the only New Testament usage of that adjective. But it is the adjective form for young in its masculine state. So it is youthful masculinity that Paul is considering here when he says, hey, Timothy, there's some particular dynamics, issues, and struggles that you're going to face as a young man. And it's interesting, Timothy, again, is a little bit older, and he's a spiritual leader. And yet he's still dealing with these dynamics, these young man dynamics. So we need to look at what this text is saying and help young men to embrace what Paul's saying to Timothy. If you're a young man, this is really important for you. And of course, these things apply to all of us. I'm challenged as an older man in what Paul is saying to Timothy. And I bet the ladies are going to be challenged too if they're listening up here, because a lot of this applies to all of us as well. Just a couple of quick reminders. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that we looked at last week related to young women, is the feminine form of the same word used in 1 Timothy 4:12. So we're looking at those that are young, obviously. And likewise, urge the younger men, Titus 2:6, is the same word used in 1 Timothy 4:16. It's a very close word relative of the word used in 2 Timothy 2:22. So we're talking about those that are young, and today looking at how we can help young men launch a man who loves God and honors God in the way that they handle themselves, and a man who seeks to care for and provide for others in a way that honors the Lord as well. So just a bit of background here to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I've done a little bit of analysis, sort of the age. How old was Timothy when he joined Paul in Acts 16? He was at least 13, and he was at most 21. You may say, well, that's quite a range, Pastor Bruce. I'd say probably I'd go right in the middle, probably 16, 17-ish, but I don't know for sure. But he was young, very young, when he was identified by Paul and the church community there as being a godly guy that had a lot of potential, and Paul took him and he became part of Paul's missionary entourage and was mentored by Paul, somewhere starting probably late teens, most likely. Then Timothy is doing ministry with Paul for quite a few years, 15 years or so. About age 27 on the early side to 35 on the late side, Timothy was sent by Paul to the church in Ephesus to help guide them, provide coaching and instruction and encouragement for the church. And while Timothy was there in Ephesus, having had this season of being trained in ministry by the Apostle Paul, but still a young man, again, I'd say probably, if we kind of split the difference, probably 31-ish, he was doing ministry there, and maybe on the old side, 35, 36, but definitely under 40. So Paul is writing to Timothy as a young man who's been mentored in ministry, had a lot of a track record of godliness, but still had some of these young man issues that probably are even stronger and more in place, say, with that emerging teenage boy. And definitely in place with somebody who's on the cusp of young adulthood as they're moving into it. So we're going to talk today about these dynamics, these launching dynamics for young men from these two passages around these two different verses that address young men. First, we got some good news for guys, for all of us, and we need to remember this. The great value young men bring. Young men have great value and potential. And sometimes that one's missed, right? With all the stuff guys are struggling with and you guys are getting all these messages or whatever. Guys, you have great, great value. And this verse, 1 Timothy 4:12, is kind of emphasizing that. So let's hear this for young guys to hear it, for the church to hear it, and apply this, the great value they bring. And then, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, guys, you also face great battles. The desires, and these desires, they trip people up badly and send them on bad trajectories quickly. And a lot of what's going on with the struggle of young men is related to these desires they battle, and desires are winning the battle a lot of times. So we got to talk about this. and the resources of the gospel to help us against these. And as a church community, to rally around young men as they do battle, if we want them to be launched well into adulthood. And then here's the last one we're going to talk about, the great partners all have. Now, guys, you have partners. And it's called brothers and sisters in Christ and the community of believers. You need those partners. And I need those partners, too. You all need those partners. We all need partners. And we can be partners. And when we're fighting these battles alone, and we're struggling with all this stuff alone, we're probably going to be losing. So we got to come together around young men and come together as a Christian community, come together around families and the great partners all have. From these two verses to Timothy that address the unique dynamics for emerging men, and we're going to be looking, thinking about, hey, maybe you've got that 11, 12, 13-year-old guy moving into adolescence. Apply these. Think about these. If you can hear me, hear me. These are for you. Or maybe you got somebody who's, you know, kind of 18 to 21, you know, and they're starting to spread their wings as a young adult. You got to apply these. Hear these. Pay attention to them. We got to help young men around these. Or maybe they've moved into adulthood. They're mid-20s, late 20s, 30s. But they may be doing well. They may not be doing well. And in either case, these help. Hear these. Apply these. We got to rally around guys in doing these to see the great value they bring, to how to deal with the great desires they battle, and to tap into the great partners that all have. As we are working through this series, I just want to remind you the good launches are not just seeking for responsible adulthood. Yeah, good guy, went to school or got a career into trades, got a job, working away, got a nice wife, you know, the whole picture, the house or the paying a mortgage or whatever it is. You could be doing all that and your life is a train wreck, spiritually speaking. We're not just seeking for guys that are sort of checking the boxes. We're seeking for guys who know and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And as John wrote, 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Our goal is those who are walking in the truth. Let's pray for that, seek that, as we're seeking to help those that we know in our community launch into adulthood. Let's talk first about the dynamic of the great value young men bring. Paul is addressing Timothy about himself. This young man who was in a leadership role in the church. You know, and Timothy had a lot of track record of good stuff and success, but still, Paul is addressing him about himself. And it appears that Timothy's attitudes about himself as a young man could have been an issue. And definitely, a young man's attitudes about himself as a young man are a transformational kind of issue. How do you see yourself? So we want to apply these to emerging men and to all of us. Again, whether that emerging man is teen, 20s, into young adulthood, whether they're doing great so far or struggling like crazy, these apply. Let's just set the context. Command and teach these things, 1 Timothy 4:11. These things are pertaining to the gospel, pertaining to sound doctrine. Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the saying is true, and this is good news that is true, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's a gospel. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. He's the one who paid for the ransom and reconciliation for sinners. So then the gospel is true, the gospel needs to be proclaimed, but also then all the implications and applications of the gospel. How we then live because of the gospel. We guard the gospel, but we also guide people in living according to the gospel. And that's what 1 Timothy 4:11 is saying. Timothy is charged there that his leadership in that church and what that community of believers provides is that which is consistent with the gospel and sound doctrine. And it appears then from the next verse, 1 Timothy 4:12, that despising youth gets in the way of God-honoring men. It gets in the way of God-honoring, gospel-shaped living. It gets in the way of church being the way the church ought to be. Because Paul says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Let's just jump to the next verse real quickly. Just say, hey, here's a big part of what that gospel-shaped doctrine and what's going to be helping us to not fall into seeing young men the wrong way and them seeing themselves the wrong way. It is the Bible. The next verse after 1 Timothy 4:12 is 1 Timothy 4:13. I do some pretty good math there, don't I? Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So the Bible is central to this gospel-shaped living and gospel-shaped church community and gospel-shaped launching. Let's go back then to 1 Timothy 4:16. It's not one of the verses we read, just a quick reminder. This is like responsibility. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. This is a little said but vitally important biblical message. You are responsible for you. Timothy, you're responsible for you. Keep a close eye on yourself, right? I want to say to you, if you're young, your mom's not responsible for you. Your dad's not responsible. If you're married, your wife's not responsible for you. Who's responsible for you? You're responsible for you. Keep a close eye on yourself and on the teaching. I'm responsible for me. You're responsible for you. So your choices and your faith and your perseverance, each of us has that kind of same responsibility that Paul charges Timothy with. And here's Paul's point. The young man Timothy has these great strengths to fulfill his responsibilities, and yet he might sell himself short. And others might push him into that place where he sells himself short. He says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Sadly, sometimes the standard that we're being fed by the culture, and maybe even by mom and dad, is basically you've succeeded if you're not a jerk. That's a crazy low bar, right? That's not the bar of the gospel. Let no one despise you for your youth, Paul says to Timothy, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. And I want to say those same words to every young man, anyone who has ears to ears. I don't care if you're a teenager, you can take this and say, yeah, that's me. You may not have all the trappings yet of what others say you're supposed to be, but no, this is for you, young man. And if you got the trappings, the job and the yada-da-da-da, but spiritually speaking, this is what the goal is. Set an example. Let's talk about the great value. And first, addressing young men, don't let people look down on you. Don't let them. There are those who will. The culture might. Your friends might. Your parents might. They're going to say, yeah, whatever, you're just a guy. You're just a young guy. Like, again, the bar is just kind of way down here. And you're letting them say that's who you are. You're letting them get away with saying that's... Even Timothy, as far along as he was, probably in his early 30s, as a godly man and a leader, was contending with people that were looking down on him. Don't let people look down on you. See yourself, men. And we can say this to everybody, but men need to hear it, and today I'm saying it to men. See yourself with the strength and potential God gave you. Embrace that. Whatever challenge you've got, I'm not saying that some guys don't have challenges. Yeah, they do. But every man has great strength and great potential. Embrace that. God gave it to you. And let me tell you one thing I've seen with young guys that really gets in the way, really messes with their heads. It's comparison. Stop it. Don't look at that other guy. He's probably got problems you don't know about. Look to Jesus. look to Jesus and say, hey, he's given me strength, potential. I want to use those for him. Self-deprecation and self-loathing won't get you anywhere Jesus is taking you. You have great value. See yourself with the potential God gave you. I love Ephesians 2:10, and I've labeled the verse wrong there, but it is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. These words apply to everyone who's a believer in Jesus, even though I have the wrong scripture designation on the slide. That's Ephesians 2:10. When you embrace Jesus, whether you're in the countdown years, active launching years, derailed in your launch years, struggling or succeeding, when you embrace Jesus, God says you're a work of art. That's the Greek word poema. It sounds kind of like poem because that's what it is. God created work of art for good works. That's you. That's you. Don't let anyone look down on you. And of course, some are like, wow, my life is so broken. How can I get there? Let me just share with you. The words have been ringing in my head this week from the song, the Keith Green version of the song, When Your Love Broke Through. Like waking up from the strangest dream, how real it seemed, but then your love broke through. I was lost in a fantasy that blinded me, but then your love broke through. When you receive Jesus by faith, that's the change moment, his love breaking through. Let that, the reality of his love breaking through, fill your mind, your heart, as you see the value you bring as a young man and the potential God gave you, the strength that you have. Not strength in the world's terms, but strength as you embrace Jesus, look to him, and let him shape you for his unique purposes. That's the value you bring. I want to speak to all of us, older guys, ladies, as it relates to our attitude toward young men. We got to stop looking down on them. And we need to pray for them. We need to encourage them. We need to look to God and for his strength for them to know the value they have and to walk in fulfillment of the plans God has for them. We got to get away from this sort of talking down and looking down. And there they go again. There's those young guys, and they're all lying. No, let's go with another route and say, God's got something good. God's got something good. With God in the picture, even the most discouraging kind of scenario is a scenario with great hope. Someone this week used these words, your mess-ups can become God's messages. Your mistakes can be God's miracles. That's the dynamic in play when God's in the picture, and that's what we need to pray for and look for with our attitude toward young, especially young men. Don't look down on them. You know, it's fashionable to rant against the youth and the generation, and it's bordering on despising, but it's not biblical. Whatever we're saying that's factual, let's make sure our hearts are biblical. We want to pray for and celebrate God's work in the lives of the young, especially young men, as we consider this text. Let no one despise you for your youth. Let's not be one of those despisers. Here's the Pastor Bruce paraphrase of the inverted version of 1 Timothy 4:12. This is not in your Bible, but it's, I think, the point your Bible is making. Let none of you look down on Timothy, nor any young man for that matter, due to their young age. And let's not miss the second half of this verse, this powerful little verse, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. Set an example. And I When I read that last word, impurity, I remember reading in my Bible as a young teenager. I was like, wow, that's mind-blowing. Where Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2, treat the young women as sisters in all purity. Wait, so that girl, I'm supposed to treat her like my sister? Yes. That's what purity looks like. No degrading, no objectifying. You're treating her with that sense of honor and respect like you would your sister. You want somebody to treat your sister. And so that attitude is what Timothy is being encouraged here to be an example of. So let's address that issue of set an example. I've talked about setting the bar. Young men, don't cater to the bar of low expectations. Set an example of following Jesus. Set an example not only your friends say, wow, but set an example even that your parents will say, the older generation say, wow. That was Timothy, right? Set an example and say, wow, that's what following Jesus looks like. Don't cater to that low expectations. Seek to be that example of one following Jesus that others say, wow. In speech, you hear that guy talks? That's an example. That guy, shoot for that. In conduct, you see that guy lives? That's an example. Shoot for that. In love, this is not mushy-gooey sentimental stuff. This is like Christ-like self-sacrifice for the good of others and the work of God. That kind of thing, set an example. In faith, I don't think he's talking just about believing. He's talking about trusting God, seeing that God is bigger. And knowing that if God is in it, there's something that God can do with it. And in purity, again, a young man as an example of purity is not an oxymoron. It's here in the Bible. It's the bar that was set for Timothy, and it's the bar that's set by God's word. As difficult as that is, we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. Young man, by God's grace, seek to be an example. And then let's talk to all of us. Older guys, ladies, friends, etc. Think of this. Do you see the example? Do you see some young man as like, wow, he's an example in this area, in that area? See those examples. Thank God for them. Instead of being all the kids don't and the young people don't, well, hey, there's something good. Praise God for that. That's awesome. And learn from it. There's young guys in my life that challenge me by their example. Good for them. Hey, am I doing it? Let's not write them off. Let's look, notice, thank God for, and learn from the good example that young men set. Hey, here's something good. We've got some young men and young women going to the DR, taking a week of their life to do something for others, to grow and learn. Guys, you're an example. Thank you, God, for them and for other ways that the young are an example. We honor that. We thank God for that. And we want to spur one another on in serving with joy. And what a great way to do that. Hey, here's another one. Did you notice the VBS email that went out this week? Some of you got it. You know what the kids are learning about at VBS? Being an example, essentially. Making waves as they know and follow Jesus. Even the kids. We're saying, hey, you can be an example. You can be that one who's a friend to that kid at school that doesn't have any friends. You can be the one who stands up and says, no, that's not right, when other ones saying it's right. Our kids can learn these things as they know and follow Jesus, to be an example, to make waves. And guess what? If the kids can do that, we better be able to do that, right, as we grow in the Lord. So let's not set the bar low for us as older adults as well. That's the great value young men bring. Let's talk about the great desires they battle. Paul writes about the battle with passions. ESV says, many of the translations say desires. Some even translated evil desires, because the implication in this context is desires that are either sinful or inordinate, that are going to derail healthy, godly life and ministry. And we need to recognize, Paul, I believe, is recognizing here, that these desires are particularly strong for young men. Having been a young man, I know that. Having spoken with many young men, I know that. Having seen many young men get derailed because of desires of one kind or another, I know that. There's a book that's been around a few years now, but I think it nails it. The title of the book is Every Man's Battle. And it's about the battle with lust and desires sexually, and which can lead to pornography. And it is literally every man's battle. One study said that 93% of men admit to being in this battle, and the other study showed that 7% of men are pathological liars. So it's pretty much every man's battle. Now, and for guys, you're like, yeah, okay, I know what he's talking about. If some ladies like, what's Pastor Bruce talking about? No, it really is that way. When ran across one study, you know, a teenage boy has a sexual thought every 10 seconds. And I think it was like that, actually, back then. Thank goodness it's not quite the same as you get a little older. But it is incessant. And there are other things, other desires as well we need to talk about. There's a desire for things. There's a desire for wealth. There's a desire for self-advancement, pride. There's the desire a lot of different ways, the desire to feed and fuel anger, which is sort of the one acceptable male emotion. So guys just are all angry about everything, and it's like, and that's destructive too. But let's look at the context here about these desires young men battle, and of course all have desires they battle, but these, Paul seems to be saying, are particularly strong for Timothy as a young man, even though he's a little bit older. He's, you know, probably early 30s. These are still there and present. And here's the context, 2 Timothy 2:20, it's the context of considering sort of vessels in a house. You got jars and jugs and pictures you pour stuff out of and whatever, and there's different kind of vessels. There's in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, those are really valuable ones, but wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. Some you use to take out the trash, but others are used for keeping the jewels in or whatever, right? That's what it's saying. And saying, well, then basically people are like vessels. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for the master of the house, ready for every good work. So we want to be one of those kind of vessels for good work. And that's incumbent upon us to be, by the working of God, set apart and cleansed, and continuing to walk in that. So, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. These are desires that can be good, but probably in this context they're evil or inordinate, and it reminds us that we're sinners, we need God's grace, we need forgiveness, and we need to hold those things in check, whatever they might be, and grow in the healing that Jesus gives us, or launch will be derailed. Launch will be somehow off path of what God would want, and even Timothy at this stage of his game needed to hear and heed that exhortation. Let's talk a little bit about what to do with these desires. Paul's strategies, one, if you're young and a young man, run from certain things. And if you're young and you're a young man, run toward certain things. Run from certain things. Flee youthful passions. And we're to do it continuously. It's a manly thing to run away sometimes, guys. It's a manly thing to say, I'm not going there. I'm not going to open that. I'm staying away from that person, that situation. Now, why is that? Because like Joseph in the Old Testament there, you're confronted with that temptation the best thing you need to do is run. Joseph ran when Potiphar's wife made an advance on him, and that was a smart thing to do. Guys, we need to all learn and have well-worn exit paths from certain temptations. Keep running in that path. And if you stay running in that path, that's the path you're going to run in. You'll know when you need to run, and you're going to run, and you stay on the path. And we need to help our young men to figure out how to do this. You know that the average age a boy is exposed to pornography is 11 years old. So parents, you've got to be super vigilant to help them to find those well-worn paths, to flee. And then as they get older, help them to stay in those paths. And guys, if any of you are in a place where you're trapped in stuff, you're hooked on stuff that's destructive, you need to get help. And we're a community that wants to help you. There are people in this believing community, Trinity, that have encountered and come out on the other side of a victory on pretty much every kind of desire that is destructive. So don't be thinking, oh, I'm the only one, I'm going to struggle over here on myself. Seek the help that you can get in the community of believers to flee, to run away. And let's also talk about running toward. These well-worn pathways need to be also in the good. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Do this continually, not just staying away, but going for. Discipline yourself in the pursuit of what honors God. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. I wish I could say more, but let's move on to number three. Great partners. You've got them, guys. We've all got them. It's the family of believers. We need to partner together, and we need to partner with others. There's partners who see you, 1 Timothy 4:12, but set the believers an example. They're people that are looking, they're around you, they care about you, they're hopefully praying for you and God's work, and those are partners who can help. And then there's partners you need to surround yourself with. Did you notice 2 Timothy 2:22? Along with all those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. Timothy was sort of seek out and stand with that sort of band of brothers or band of sisters, band of mothers and fathers. They're going to stand with him in the pursuit of what is good. And some of us maybe know this from military. We've kind of had the experience of the band of brothers. Some of us know this from maybe a great sports team we've been on, particularly cohesive and pursuit of championship. But the spiritual band of brothers is so big, isolation for men fuels defeat. Connection, encouragement, the right kind of relationship with others is going to help us to not only flee, but also pursue what is good. We've been talking about launching. As we close, I just want to encourage us, number one, embrace the gospel. If you haven't done it, take that step. It's where that moment of his love breaks through can be the experience for you. Encourage a young man. Think about a young man, whatever that is, teen, 20. Encourage them today. You believe in them. You're praying for them. God's got good plans for them. Have battle partners, especially if you're a young man. Seek out those. Where are those guys that are going to stand with you and that you're sharing with as you do battle against these harmful desires? Pray for emerging men. Let's be a community that's really praying for them, helping them to step up. And number five is our DR trip. Now, what does that have to do with it? Well, there's a lot about young here. There's a lot about serving here. There's a lot about community on mission, which is a huge value for us. And right now, we're going to transition to a little bit of a time of closing and the DR team being introduced, and we're going to pray and send them off. Anna and Caleb, would you come? And excited for these guys to be. Let's give them a hand. These guys are.